Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day 484. How are we all doing? Oh, I've got to admit, grumpy. Very, very grumpy. And as if last night's total farce and debacle wasn't enough, today has made it worse. But apart from that, how is everybody? Did I mention grumpy? Hello, Simon. Simon's in first. Hello, Dee. So near and yet so far. Hello, Deb. And who else do we have? Where is Johnny? I don't know. We haven't heard from Johnny. I don't know. Thank you, Dee. Thank you, Dee. Still grumpy. Still grumpy. I don't really know. This is the time when you think to yourself, why do I put myself through it? Why do I watch it? I don't know how closely anybody else watched said match. Let me get my pickies out that I've just downloaded. I can't upload more than one at the same time, I don't think. That's a bit annoying, isn't it? Well, I'll upload these two and then you'll get an idea. I'm not saying we were robbed. We did not play well in the second half. We perked up a little bit towards the end, but there is a phrase we have which I couldn't possibly use in polite company, but dirty cheating and Italians are three words that you tend to put together. There's one picky. Let's get the other picky, the wide shot of the other picky. And believe it or not, that was not even a sending off offence. Do tell me in the States if that would be a sin binnable offence. Because I would like to think that it was a sin binnable offence. That's the kind of thing that you're fighting against. And the other one, I don't think I've got a picky of the other one, but somebody surely must have somewhere. Here's one from Facebook. That wasn't even a tackle, was it, Mike? What do we call that? Common assault. Should just get police involved. The referee's going to do nothing. Just get the police involved.
Like twanging his bra strap.
Yeah, but the shirt didn't rip, did it? So, do you remember when somebody did that with Eric and he never wore the lace again?
Mm.
I mean, that guy, is he their captain?
I think so.
He was at that all night, just shirt pulling. Look where the linesman is. And that didn't even warrant a sending off. There are no words. No words. The other one was a guy who went in what we call studs up. Studs up is where you lift your foot and the studs on the bottom of your boot, as you go into a tackle, you're going in studs first. It's dangerous. As I understood it, it was an instant sending off. But as you can see from the third picky there, that was... Did you get a yellow for that? I don't think he did he? I was too worried about the player myself, but I don't know.
I think he did.
I'd like to think he did, but it was a sending off. It was as simple as that. What a way to win a match. Oh, and then, of course, it's our three who couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. But don't, for God's sake, say anything about the fact that they missed. Because the second that you criticise them, you're anti-Black Lives Matter. So that kicked it off this morning beautifully. And then, to add insult to injury, I'm surprised Simon hasn't mentioned it yet, Bongo was about... I actually spoke to Mike's mother. It's her birthday tomorrow. So the flowers had arrived today. So Mike's training and I get the call. So I'm talking to her and I said, well, don't forget, you know. Oh, she's talking about meeting up, isn't she, Mike?
Mm.
Yeah, as long as that stays talk. So she said, maybe at the end of the month or next month. And I said, well, Boris is talking today, so we'll have all new rules. And she said, oh, I'm not listening to him. The man's an idiot. Oh, which I thought summed it up perfectly and echoed Simon. Echoed Simon totally. Right. Let's have a look what's going on here. Surely you watch it because you want the game. You like the game and winning should be a bonus. Yes, Simon. And I am of the opinion that if the game is a good game, I'm less concerned whether we win or not. Honestly, I just like to see a really good game of football. Many years ago, when we had Sky TV on a TV, so obviously it was a while back we had a TV, there were some games on a Friday night. And it was like, oh, it's a match on tonight, put it on. No interest in either team, to be honest. And they were first division games when it really wasn't. No, Yes, first division games. First division. Wasn't it? There was the Premiership and there was the First Division. Right, now there's a Championship and then there's the First Division, which is basically the old Third Division. It gets complicated. But this one, they weren't the Premiership matches, and they were great games, weren't they, Mike?
They were.
I didn't care who was playing. I enjoyed watching the match. The problem is, Simon, you've got these overpaid superstars telling you what you should and shouldn't think and then can't actually deliver. Now, today we've had, oh, bless them, the oldest was only 23 and the youngest was 19. They can't be expected to cope. Just a minute. That's their job. And I don't see any whining about their age when they're cashing their paycheck. So either you're old enough or you're not. And if you're not, go away. Don't play. It was their attitude. They went over to the team hotel today and one of them, I think it was the second one who missed a penalty, but I couldn't swear to it, came out and one of the reporters said, "How are you feeling this morning?" And he just shrugged. And that was like incendiary to me. There are people who, you know, they want the support of the fans. The fans put in money for a ticket or they're just watching on the telly. But they put in their heart and soul. It's the emotions that the players want. And then when they get it and they lose, they wonder why people are a little bit on the peeved side. I can't understand that. And to just shrug. No, no, no. The words you are inelegantly groping for are, "I'm sorry, I wish I had managed to score." And that would just diffuse it. But no, no. Oh, so today, not as good a day as yesterday. Oh, D watched it start to finish. First time watching a football match all the way through. Insanely tense. It was because, you know, they played really well at the beginning. And then they dipped again. And if they had just managed to string a few passes together, it could have been a different result. Kim saw that in real time. Why wasn't he ejected? I've no idea, Kim. I wish I could tell you. That to me... There was another match the other day, and of course the picture that Dee sent of the rugby, there's too much shirt tugging goes on, isn't there? Sometimes the shirts actually rip, but that used to happen about 15 years ago. The shirts would just totally rip. And the answer to the problem, rather than saying, well, you know, players shouldn't grab other players' shirts, and if you do, it's a sending off, is, well, let's make the shirts tougher. But the only thing that's going to do, as you can see from that picture, and you will have watched last night, you're going to end up with a player with a really bad injury with that. It's only a matter of time. If the shirt doesn't rip, you're going to end up with something like that. I mean, we've seen it all, haven't we? We've seen shirts ripped clean in half. We've seen shorts ripped clean in half. Do you remember when all the players stood around one of the players while he had to change his pants?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yes, he was double unwrapped in the middle of the pitch. And he had to... They actually did have a spare pair of pants and shorts. I was quite impressed with that myself. But they had to take it on and he had to change.
You're going to tell them what I'm wearing?
Mike's wearing a very fetching pair of shorts. You've run out of trousers, haven't you? Mm. It's rained that much.
Yeah.
So they're all drying. And he said, "So I've got this." And he sat here in a rather fetching pair of shorts. So
with a pineapple on it.
With a pineapple on it and a little press stud on the back. Yeah, so obviously outside the house there's a queue of these women waiting for a glimpse.
I don't know about that.
I do.
Probably the bloke
it's
across,
only a matter of
probably
time.
The bloke across the road.
Oh.
But then he has his bum crack on show.
Dee said she heard. You haven't got your bum crack on show. Good grief, Mike, there'll be a queue up the street if you say that.
Well, I haven't. No, I'm talking about the guy across the road.
Well, I'm not looking at the guy across the road.
It. You can't miss it.
I'm not looking. That's how I can miss it. Right, Dee said she heard the pundits after one guy should have got a red stud going into a guy's leg and was sliding number 7. Yes, that was the one who went in studs up and no one said a thing. But in the Premier League, that'd be sending off. This is what I don't get. It's not like they're supposed to be playing different rules. They are supposed to be playing... Well, any kind of rules would be nice, wouldn't they? Oh, but with that kind of stuff going on, if an England player had done that, I can guarantee you they'd have been sent off. But there you go. Right. That should have been dealt with by the technical drawing teacher from Simon's Grammar School. He'd have caned right there on the pitch in front of everybody. Simon, I'm liking that idea. Would you like to be a referee? Because you, honestly, if that happened, it would stop them, wouldn't it? It would stop them dead in their tracks with that. Oh, Tracy says the Italians play very dirtily. Studs in is also sending off. Totally agree. Tracy gave up 7 minutes from normal time. You could foresee the outcome right then. Well, yes. Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time, would it, Tracy? No, it wouldn't. Oh. See, I'm with Kim. Likes the team to win with a fair good match. It was obvious the Italians were getting desperate, and they do have a reputation for... we don't really want to use the C word, do we? Being somewhat histrionic in the I'm injured department. Always have. Always have. Oh, Tracy's brother-in-law is an amateur footballer for many years and says shirt pulling is normal play. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. It's cheating. It's the same as that stupid run-up for the penalty, don't get me going. It's an attempt to cheat. So it shouldn't be happening. And I think... there's so many rules that they've changed over the years. Many, many rules, like the dancing on the line and all of that. Just make the shirt pulling... a sending off and be done. Simple as. In fact, if they made it that the shirt's ripped... In fact, I said to Mike, why can't they play with Velcro ones like a stripper? If the sides of the shirt were Velcro, any pulling and they just ripped clean off.
Do you know about strippers?
I just happen to know this, Mike. Google's a wonderful resource. Now, I'm sure it was a TV programme in my youth.
No.
But just send them off and be done with it. Kim says players should be using their hands. But anything else, you play in goal. Very true. Very true. It is ridiculous. Shorts are fair game too. Well, they have been over the years, Tracy, but it was more like an accident. Whereas now it seems to be part of the play. And that's not football. It's not. There was none of that in the heyday of it. Kim likes the electric pink shirts of the referees. You can't miss them. Well, Kim, they used to play in black. And then when the Premier League arrived, all of a sudden they were in green. It could have been something to do with the terrace chants of who's the bar steward in the black. And they went green. And I said to Mike, why are they pink in this tournament? But I'm wondering if it's anything to do with the little car that brought the ball on. There was a little car brought a ball.
A pride car.
And it was a pride car, so it was all in you know, rainbow colours. I'm not surprised the fans do get a bit exasperated, because it's as if the game's the last thing that's important, which is why there's been a lot of criticism of Marcus Rashford this morning. One of our MPs, yeah, I know they should know better, but, you know, definition of an MP, Muppet with a salary. In a private WhatsApp group, and that was interesting in itself, because that was formed a chapter of that book I was talking about by Charles Arthur, Social Warming. And it was saying that WhatsApp got popular, I think it was the 2017 election, and there was private Tory and Labour WhatsApp groups set up. So this morning, one of the Tory MPs posts to a private WhatsApp group and says, Marcus Rashford should concentrate on his football and not interfering with politics. This is his Feeding the 5,000 campaign. And despite it being a private group, obviously it leaked out by somebody else in the group, and it has now had to be deleted. And she's had to apologise. And I'm thinking, where's the apology from Rashford for being a complete muppet last night? So that got me going, but then the day got worse, didn't it, Mike? Like, at that point, you're thinking it couldn't possibly go worse, but it did. All right, let's carry on here first. Radio 5 said all the 50-50 decisions go to the Italians. Well, what we could do is blame the referee, who was from the Netherlands. I did entreat Renee to have a word with him, but he said he wasn't picking up his phone, surprisingly, most unfortunately. Kim did notice that when they hit the ground, a lot of play acting was taking place. Your football team only roll around when they can't walk off the field. Oh, no, that's the thing, Kim. That's why a lot of people in this country prefer rugby. In rugby, you know, you've got a broken nose and a dislocated shoulder and you carry on. And in football, you may have a splinter, not quite sure, and you're rolling around like you're dead. That's just the way it is. And there was one last night, an Italian, and I said to Mike, he's rolling around like he's dead. I said, and particularly in this tournament, that's obscene. Because one of the first matches was the Denmark match where Christian Eriksen had a heart attack. So that should have set the tone of, do you know what? I've not had a heart attack, I should carry on. But no, they were rolling around. So yeah, that happens a lot. Alex likes the funny conversations with Mike's twanking bra straps and Elaine's Velcro strippers. Velcro's where it's at, I'm telling you, that's what's needed. Dee said, as somebody who watches rugby, painful to see players dropping down and pretending to be injured because someone's so much as coughed near them. Exactly, Dee. That drives me insane. I think the only injury last night, I mean, the lad who had the shirt pulled, it could have choked him. But the one with the studs up, and he was in pain. He'd only been on the pitch about 5 minutes. And they're petrified of him because he's a good player. And not only is he a good player, but he's coming on over 60 minutes into the match. So he's got more energy than they have. So they determined they were just going to cut him down. Apart from that, the others did look a little bit play-acting, I must admit. But you get used to it. Ooh, Simon, I'm liking that. The Tory MP should concentrate on politics instead of interfering in sport. The thing is, they are criticised for that, aren't they, Simon? So I guess they felt that for once they could criticise back. Hello, Tony! How are you doing? If you can't not win without racial abuse... Oh, hang on, I'm going to have to check my triple negatives here, Simon. There's a real issue in sport. It's, to me, I don't care what colour they are. It was the ridiculous run-up. I mean, Gareth Southgate got... I mean, it's 25 years on and we're still seeing the one that Gareth Southgate missed. And it was a poorly taken penalty. If you actually watch that penalty, not from the point of him kicking the ball... Watch before that, as he's got the ball and he places it on the spot and he turns around and he walks away. There was just defeat in his entire body language. He didn't stop and take a breath and think, right, run up and score. It was all in one movement, as though it was kind of a perfunctory penalty thing in training. And it was one of the worst penalties I've ever seen. And it was like, well... You know, he did have the guts to take it. He went up and, you know, it wasn't a good penalty. End of. That was the criticism finished. Until he decided it was a good idea to take money from Pizza Hut to do an advert where he was walking around with a bag on his head. So I said to Mike, now these three have missed, I said, can we expect the Pizza Express advert in the next couple of weeks where they're pocketing millions for walking around with a paper bag on their head? And the answer to that will probably be yes. And that's what I object to. I really do. And the guy that just shrugged today... You're thinking, you've broken the hearts of millions here and that's your attitude. All you got to do is say, I'm sorry. I wish I could have scored. But, no, that's where we're at. So, yeah, not good last night. Not good at all. Hello, Pete. Did you watch the match? I won't say enjoy. I won't. I might start watching the rugby. At least they don't drop if a feather wafts past. But the race card then has to be played, and that's all anybody's talking about. And what I'd like to talk about is who thought it was a good idea to do a run-up like that. It was self-indulgent and bordered on cheating, and I can't be doing with it. But nobody's talking about that. And now it's all about, this is why England take the knee. I don't care what you do, but you know, could you make whatever it is secondary to actually winning the match? There's a concept. Oh, dear me. Saving it for tonight, don't tell you the result. Right, OK, Pete. Watch and enjoy. Am I saying there was no racial abuse? Well, Simon, that's interesting because... No, I'm not, because I don't know. I don't know. But all I can say is, of all the sites that I watch, the stories that I read, the match, etc., I personally haven't seen or heard any. So there probably is, but are the papers going looking for it? I honestly don't know. And I know there was a programme about maybe a month ago, and Rashford was saying, you know, look at all these comments that I get, and they were appalling. Well, I get comments on YouTube. The majority of them are really nice, but there are a handful that are appalling. And... criticism of virtually everything that's in a video. Particularly, you're a woman and you shouldn't be making a video. It's a technical thing and you should be a bloke. I've had that. I'm not whining about it. I'm not... This is the first time I've even ever mentioned it because it's like, well, yeah, whatever, delete. I don't go out with, oh, I'm going to take the knee now for feminism and all the rest of it. Just get on with it. Get on with it. If you don't give them airtime, So there probably is, but I think you either have to be the player involved where it's they're at it on social, or you have to be going looking for it. Because I actually sat and thought last night, you know, okay, so this is kicking off. Well, I pretty much expected that. Where is it? And in my feed, in my football lists that I follow, there was nothing. The only thing I've seen is people supporting them. So there must be people out there who are making racist comments, but I mustn't be following them, and they mustn't be on any of the lists that I've got. So if you're seeing it, I'd think maybe you need to tidy your list up or something like that. But yes, there probably was, and it's been discussed endlessly, and it will continue to be discussed endlessly. And will you ever get rid of it? Well, there's one surefire way. If we'd won, that's what we'd be talking about today, and we would not be talking about this. So, if you won a match, then you might see the world completely differently. Who knows? Hello, Paul! Dee said she did respect the Italian goalkeeper, seemed calm and composed, and wasn't making a scene any time. No, he didn't, did he? He didn't. Super lucky with the ball hitting the post, though. Or super unlucky, depending if you were taking it. When he walked up, because our goalkeeper, Jordan Pickford, looks quite a big guy. You know, most goalkeepers do. But when he stood next to him, I thought, oh, good grief, he looks like a little boy. I said, that guy, he's huge. He must have been about 6'5". And he was like RoboCop. Honestly, he was huge. Oh, maybe the players have been seeing too much YouTube fainting goats. I think the fainting goats learned all they knew from the players. There you go. Oh, dear me. Oh, Renee's at the billiards again. Yay. Oh, that does look so... I wonder if it's a leisure centre. It just looks so fresh and clean. Our places all look really old. Oh, never mind. It does look really good, that. We can't hear a thing. Best way, Renee. Because that was when... Shall we talk about our season tickets?
Yeah.
Bad news. Our season tickets we have had for...
Is that Renee playing billiards?
Yes, 29 years this year. And obviously last year, bit of an issue, no matches you could go to. So last year was like, well, we're just... You could buy the season ticket if you wanted, and then they would give you back the money for each match as it didn't happen. So as supporters couldn't go in, it kind of drip-fed back into your account. But we didn't bother because we figured, you know, you're not going to do it anyway. So this season arrived. Ta-da! Here's your season ticket renewal. So all filled in. That was the fiasco where they changed my name. Don't ask. That pushed all my buttons. So it was all sorted. Money's gone out of the account. Season tickets are secured. Excellent. That was when we got a mail today that says... Shall I actually get the mail and read it to you?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's go get to the mail. Manchester United, where have you gone? Where have you gone? There have you gone. Right, in the tiniest font you can possibly imagine, needless to say. Dear Elaine, I noticed they've left the surname off. Be careful. Thank you for purchasing your season ticket.
I think they've left my surname off.
But it's all right, because they give yours to me anyway.
Oh, they have.
Thank you for purchasing your season ticket for the 2021-2022 season. We're working hard behind the scenes to welcome fans back for the Leeds United game on the 14th of August. Having reviewed recent issued guidelines from the Premier League, we have been advised that a sterile zone will need to remain in place around the players' dugout area. So that's where the reserve sit and the manager sits and the physiotherapist sits. At this stage, it will need to be in place for an unknown number of games, but at least until October. So it will affect Leeds, Newcastle, Aston Villa, Everton and Liverpool. So there's five fixtures. You will be relocated automatically for these games because where's my seat? Right next to the bench. We've identified alternative seating for you, which is usually held for executive club members in blocks NW3428 and NW3433. You can see these here. Unfortunately, at this time, no alternative seating options are available. So fair enough. We apologise for any inconvenience this will cause, and digital tickets for these matches will be sent prior to the start of the season. In other words, we're not going to give you a refund either if you don't want to sit anywhere else. So I clicked the link. I got to the very tiny thumbnail of the ground. It's like a pinhead. But I do manage to locate where these blocks are. So where we sit is on the lowest level, at the halfway line, right next to the manager. It's as simple as that. So, best seats in the house. Where they've stuck us, or where they're thinking of sticking us, I can't tell you how high that is, but I've got a sneaking suspicion that the green bit is the top tier, which is like 47 staircases up. The other one is possibly one level lower, but I don't know, because the map is that tiny, I can barely see the numbers. It is on the other side of the ground, in the corner, right at the top. Worst seats in the house. And yet we've paid for the best seats in the house. And they've just unceremoniously moved us. With no option to say, do you know what? I'll skip it until I can have my seat. So, is that bait and switch much? Oh, I think so. So, yes, that pushed all my buttons as well. Trust me, today was not the day to send that out, United. It wasn't. And with it being totally around the other side of the ground, I've never sat on the other side of the ground, ever. I don't know where the entrances are to get in. What if I can't manage the stairs? I choose to sit on the lower level for a reason. I know all the gates, I know all the stewards, I know where the toilets are. And now I'm in the roof. And the last time we did that was Wembley, do you remember? It was the most uncomfortable match I have ever experienced. The guy next to me was about 6'6". quite thin, but really long legs. And he said, I can't move. Literally, he had to like fold his legs up underneath the chair. I said, neither can I. And when you got to the aisles between the seats where you're walking up and down to go to the toilets and get a drink, you needed to hold on. It was like the north face of the Eiger. It was appalling. They actually had people falling down these steps because they were so steep. It was that bad. So I don't like being in the gods. I really don't. Anyway, you know why that corner's famous, don't you, Mike?
No.
Do you remember that match that was called off because there was a bomb?
Mm.
That was where it was. It's in that corner. Ah, so we've got that to look forward to now. But apart from that, it's been a grand weekend. Not good. Not good. Kim says, I don't understand. Were they saying you lost because you got some black players on the team? No. Yes and no, I suppose, is the answer to that. What happens is, when the black players are either not playing well, or let's take Raheem Sterling. Raheem Sterling has probably been around for about 10 years. And he went to a tournament, didn't play well. And the first thing he did when he went home was take pictures of his brand new house, which was like, 20 million's worth, and put them onto Instagram and said, I'm chillaxing in my new house. People went mental. Because the attitude was like that the fans are still recovering from the loss and he is sat there, in his pool enjoying himself. He happens to be black. So that was where the criticism came. They were using the fact that he was black in the way that somebody would say that somebody was fat, thin, tall, short or had ginger hair. But because of the Black Lives Matter thing, that's the criticism that people are focusing on at the moment, more so than anything else. So the issue of, was it that we had black players? No, there is no England fan, even the most ardent racist, that would complain as long as those three lads had scored last night. And that would have been fine. It's the fact that they didn't, and then the criticism that is aimed at them is twofold. It will be that, you're overpaid, you're useless, you should concentrate on your football, you shouldn't be doing all your politics stuff. Oh, and incidentally, as they're criticising all of that, they will add the word black before it. That's what happens. I mean, and the taking of the knee had already inflamed people because a lot of the fans don't want them to take the knee before the England game. Whether they do or whether they don't, the issue is that it's become an issue. And the only way for it not to be an issue is not to do it, but the players want to do it. So they want to do it, a percentage of which I couldn't even guess, of the England fans don't want them to do it, and they're booing while they're doing it. Which, unfortunately, then that's on the players' minds. The players have got the right to do it, but then you can't say the players have got the right to take the knee and the fans don't have the right to object to it. So there's a row before you even start. We're not even kicked off at this point. And there's angst in the stadium. It's unfortunate. I don't think you'll ever fix it. I really don't. But it wasn't that though there were black players on the team per se, no. It was the fact that the three players that missed happened to be the three black players. And then all the excuses under the sun come out, none of which are in the slightest bit relevant to the argument at hand. And then, if you can imagine that people are bereft with this, to see a player when asked, how are you this morning? Which isn't, that's not a nasty question. You know, that was the perfect opportunity to say gutted. And I can only imagine the fans feel the same. Instead of which, what does he do? Just shrugs his shoulders and walks off. And then you wonder why people are calling them names. That it's like a children's playground. And it will continue to be so. Simon says it's got nothing to do with England losing. It goes on week in, week out. The answer to ending racism in football is no more about black players playing better than everyone else. It should be for handicapped workers to outperform everybody else. Well, I agree with you. It does go on. In fact, it did die a bit of a death. It was rampant in the 70s. People used to throw bananas onto the pitch at the black players. It was appalling. But it did seem to die out a bit in the 90s. And now it's reared its ugly head again. And the more they try to kick it out, the worse it goes. And it's actually getting worse.
Worse because of social media.
Yeah, yeah. And what are the players who are being affected by it supposed to do? I mean, like I said with YouTube, I get stuff about, you know, you're a girl, you shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, well, whatever. My tactic is to delete. I'm not publishing it, just delete it. The first one, I was quite shocked. And now I just thought of, yeah, well, you know, you're showing yourself up, not me. And I'm not giving you any publicity. But these players are retweeting this stuff and saying, look how abused I'm being. We know that. We can read it on their feed. We don't need to see it on yours. And the more oxygen that you give them, the more they do it. And it'll never go away. They've tried all sorts over the years. Wasn't there a badge we used to wear? Kick racism out of football. And it went on for years. They didn't do any good. Nothing works. I don't expect them to play any better than anybody else. In fact, even if all three of them had missed those penalties, what really pushed my buttons last night was the third act of Riverdance he did on the way up. That was what pushed my buttons. To me, that's cheating. But more than that, how self-indulgent is that? And if you're going to do it, if you know you're going to do a hop, skip and a jump, and like I say, the third act of Riverdance on the way up, what you want, the reason he's doing that is so the keeper commits one way or the other. And he did. It was quite right. The keeper went to the player's right and the player kicked the ball to the left. Yeah, but you've got to get it in the net. You can't hit the post because then what happens? The two players who came after him were probably nervous as heck because it mattered more that they got it in. And it was just like a deck of cards and came crashing down. I think I'll go watch some cricket because that's like watching paint dry. There's not much ever happens in cricket, is there?
No.
No, I'll go watch some cricket and be done with it. Hmm?
You used to watch cricket.
I did used to watch cricket when it was exciting.
England
99 when England had the World Cup. They were good games. They were good games.
We went to Lanky.
It did give racists another excuse, and that's it. They don't need much of an excuse, do they, Simon? That's why I wish to God it hadn't happened. Because now that's all we're talking about today, and then they're going to be happy that they've hijacked the news agenda for the day. So to them, it was a great success. You know, OK, the best thing that could have happened was we won the match, but seeing as though we didn't, today we're the news headlines. And that's so annoying. That is just so annoying. Black players scoring goals will solve the racism. It won't, no. But it might actually mitigate it a bit. I mean, if you're a defender or a keeper and you happen to be black, then you're not going to score that many goals. It's being seen as a team member and not being self-indulgent, unfortunately. But there will be people who will be abusive no matter what. No matter what. I mean, in the years I've been going to football, and I think I mentioned, my mum used to go to football. So when she was in her late teens, early 20s, before she got married, because she got married at 21. Oh, how are you getting married at 21? Oh, my God. I wasn't mature enough at 41, never mind 21. She would go to the match. I don't know what kind of abuse she got, but I was going and I was on my own in from 91. So from the early 90s, I was on my own at a match. And do you know, I didn't get any abuse about you're a girl from anybody in the crowd. But three managers abused the women. So one was Joe Royal, who said women have got no place at a football match. In the crowd, women have got no place at a football match. And I'm like, pardon? What decade are you in? But he actually said that the day before he came to Old Trafford. And this wall against which we sit, there was only one guy from the front to the back of the stand. Every other seat against this wall was a woman. And he had stupidity to say that. Another one was Brian Clough. Women shouldn't be at football matches. Who the heck was the third? Was it a City manager? Oh, reel me off some City managers. It was a City manager. I can't remember which one.
Steve Coppell.
No, it wasn't
Phil Neal.
No.
Mel Machin, John Bond.
Who was after John Bond?
Don't know.
It was the City manager anyway, and he said basically the same.
Oh,
and the women are supposed to sit and take it. There's just attitudes in football. There is. It's not right, but there you go.
Man City managers.
Let's have a look. Prisha Patel doesn't like it, therefore taking the knee is good. I can't fathom her. I really can't. I watched a video on YouTube of this guy. I think I mentioned him. He pretends to be in the room next to a press conference, and he pretends that he's got like an earpiece that they're listening to him. It's the funniest stuff. It really is. And he did one on Priti Patel. And I don't know whether I'd seen this original interview with Priti Patel, but his version of it was way, way, way funnier. It really was. And you're thinking, how do these people get elected? I mean, we see a lot, don't we, about Diane Abbott and the fact the woman can't add up. But Priti Patel was using the wrong words. She was talking about taking counter-terrorism measures, which is fine. And then she's talking about counter-terrorism, but she meant terrorists. So she's actually using the wrong words. And the whole interview went like that. And obviously this guy who's there with the earpiece is like, oh, no, I keep telling you the word's X. And then she'd say the wrong word again. And then, of course, there's Boris. And he came out today. I've not seen all of it. Oh, I can't. But basically the short version is, I think, next Monday, this time next week, the COVID thing's all over. It's all over next week. He's leaving it to people's personal integrity. You know, you've got to you use your own views. And I'm thinking, this is the country that voted you Prime Minister. So I do have sincere concerns about the rationality of a lot of people in this country. Oh, not that there's a good one amongst them. Right. Dee thought it was weird to see all the England players ripping off their silver medals literally the second they got them. It seemed weird to you. But that might just be common practice football that you're not used to. It's very unusual for the... Normally, it's not a medal that goes around their neck. It's normally a medal in a box. So they would just normally carry it with them. But we actually came up with a grand plan last night, didn't we? We were talking about what should happen at the end of 90 minutes. They go into extra time and you play the 30 minutes of extra time. And at the end of 30 minutes, it goes to penalties, as you saw last night. But there are other ways that have been tried for football. And one was a tournament where after 90 minutes, the rationale of introducing this was, instead of giving them another 30 minutes, and then they've got another match 2 days later, so they're tired, they'd play golden goal. Now, if you've no idea what golden goal is, let me tell you. Golden goal is where you go into the 30 minutes and the first person that scores, they win. But all that happened was, oh, we've gone golden goal. We've gone golden goal. And the players just kicked the ball to each other. They were petrified. Nobody wanted to make a mistake. So last night on the WhatsApp group, somebody suggested Golden Goal. And Stuart came in and said, no, not a Golden Goal. Because the game just stops dead. And it goes to penalties. So I said, instead of Golden Goal, it should be that you go into extra time. And if at the end of that extra time it's still a draw, just let another team win the third team. So if you're in the final, the two teams in the final, you play each other, it's 90 minutes, it's a draw. You go into extra time. If one of you doesn't win, let's call this an incentive to actually play, hey? If it's still a draw at the end of it, you give it to the third place team. That would see them playing, wouldn't it? Because they'd have no alternative. But once a Golden Goal's not good, it's horrible. Golden Goal is terrible. But penalties isn't much better. But just actually playing to win might help. Ball tampering in cricket. Oh, there is that, isn't there? Yes, I did see a bit of that. Wasn't it picking the thread off the ball or something? Mike had to explain what they were doing. And it was like, really? And yeah, it was a thing. Oh, no. And rubbing it against, yes, exactly, Simon. I've seen that as well. The ones that get me are the players that do it and they don't have a towel. So their trousers end up with like a streak on the front that looks terrible. But some players actually do have like a towel. But does it actually work? Does ball tampering work? I don't understand the logic of it myself. I very much think you should just say, just play. Just play. Don't cheat. Just play. And if you lose, then at least you can say we played our best and we didn't cheat. There was none of this ball tampering, come shirt pulling, come rolling on the floor, getting 14 Oscars for the best performance. None of that. Just play. Just play the game. Oh, so much better when we did. Simon, it seriously looks like the game is so boring. Even the bowler is entertaining himself. There you go, Simon, entertaining himself. The weird trick run-up was weird too. Exactly, Dee. You think the Italian did that once and he was glad that he didn't go in. And kind of glad it didn't go in for England guy too. Felt weird, but again, you don't know football. No, that never was a thing. That run-up that you saw last night, the river dance, that was not a thing in football. It wasn't. The rules would actually be against it. The referee blows his whistle and you've basically got 1 or 2 seconds to take a shot. But the other rule was that the keeper couldn't move. So the keeper's feet had to be firmly on the ground until the ball was kicked. I wish we should go back to that. It was better than this. Once they gave the goalkeeper permission to move, they then had to give the one shooting permission to piddle around. And that's how it ends up. And it's ridiculous. It's horrible to watch. I hate watching it. It makes me nervous. And even if they score, you think, but you cheated. The one penalty last night that I thought that was a good penalty. And I've always said this. As a goalkeeper, which I was, you've got to make a decision. You're going one way or the other. Just imagine you're the goalkeeper. You might even be black, Simon. You might be a black goalkeeper, in which case you'll suffer for this. You've got to go either right or left. Because if you don't go either way, if you sit there in the middle and you don't move, you'll be criticised to hell and back. You could have tried. You didn't even try. So on that basis, you know, I always would go one way or the other. Now, I was a hockey goalkeeper. So what I used to do to mitigate it was my body went one way and the hockey stick went the other. And in the final of the county championships, early 80s, some imbecile on my team gave a penalty away. And I was put on the spot as the goalkeeper to save it. And I saved it. Because I just spread myself as far as possible and I managed to keep the ball out. But a keeper is not going to want to be criticised for not trying. So they are going to go to the right or the left. What does that mean if you're taking the free kick, the penalty? The keeper's not going to be stood in the middle. So hit it in the middle. And one last night did just that. And the commentator said, oh, he's gone for the middle. And I'm like, head desk, well, duh. Because that's the one place in the stadium that the keeper's not going to be. But nobody's got the guts to do it. And I remember somebody saying to me, because we did play football at school. It wasn't official. God knows, it was a girls' school. It was an unofficial league. Well, what do you do if the keeper doesn't move? If you go for the middle and the keeper doesn't move? And I said, well, you hit it that hard that the keeper and the ball end up in the back of the net. And at the weekend, I used to go out and play football with my dad. And he'd have to be the keeper. And that's exactly what I'd do. And I made it the week I hit it that hard that I sent him and the ball into the back of the net. So if I could do it age 13, I'm pretty sure those players last night should have been able to do it. Instead of which, I hope he is auditioning for Riverdance. It was ridiculous. Oh, Renee saw the last 15 minutes and the penalties. That was about the highlight. The first 2 minutes was good. Oh, Alex, what's with the guy lying down having a picnic behind the defending wall? We covered that the other night, didn't we, Mike?
We did.
It's a new thing. I said to Mike, one of the first round games, I said to Mike, why is there a guy lying on the floor behind the wall? And Mike said, what? I said, look. So I wound the thing back on my ITV, on my TV. I said, there. And he was actually lying on the floor with his elbow on the ground, holding his head up. He looked like he was doing a nude pose for an artist. And Mike went, what? So he did the Googles. And apparently it's a thing. The wall needs to jump up as one when the ball is hit to try and stop the ball getting beyond the wall. But that leaves the ground uncovered. So during the Premiership season last year, that was a thing. You now have somebody lying down behind the wall. All this tournament, it's not made a jot of difference. I don't know why they're wasting their time. But yeah, that we noticed that as well, Alex. It was appalling. Oh, it did almost work, just not quite, Renee. Oh, Kim was able to speak with the US swimming and diving coach for the upcoming Olympics yesterday on Zoom. He's the coach for the alma mater of your university swim team. You can't wait for the Olympics. The Olympics without supporters will be a bit weird, but they've been so insistent that the Olympics are going on. And I can understand it, because if they put it off another year, it'll clash with the World Cup. But it's going to be weird.
Well, no, because the World Cup's in December.
Well, yes, but I mean, it wouldn't clash physically then, maybe. But you know all the sponsorships and stuff.
Yeah.
All of that's in place, hence it's staying the 2020 Euros, even though it wasn't 2020. Because all of the branding had been done and agreed. It's very weird. It's very, very weird. Kim said she was considered a pretty good swimmer in her day. So on the national level, small fish in the big bowl. We didn't really have the facilities for that. But what's interesting is when you do get the facilities, even in a place where traditionally they've not been good at whatever the sport is, all of a sudden they seem to do really well. We hosted the... what's the other thing to the Olympics?
Commonwealth.
The Commonwealth Games in
2002
in Manchester. So because of that, we had to build a velodrome. We had to build swimming pools and stuff. And 8 years later, we're the number one country at cycling. And virtually everybody who is on the team lives locally and they go to the velodrome to train. And the velodrome just didn't exist. And we were a laughingstock when it came to cycling. So much so, I think I mentioned this, one of the companies that makes bikes for people at that level. So we're not talking like, you know, your Rally Chopper or your Rally Chopper. That was the best bike ever, the Rally Chopper.
I had a chopper.
I wanted one but never got one, needless to say. But not an average bike. These are racing bikes. But the company wouldn't supply the England team because they were that much of a laughingstock. I mean, that's when you're bad. But once there was a velodrome built, different story. Different story entirely. You must have amazing facilities and opportunities there. I think we've got like a 25-metre pool and that's it. So we're not particularly great at swimming. I wonder how much difference it's going to make that the fans aren't there. On the one hand, you know, this racism thing, one way to kick it out, don't let anybody in. So people who would be criticised or booed, you're not going to get that. I wonder if they'll put fake sounds on there, like they do on the football, which is really weird. You know, you do have an atmosphere at the football, but it's all fake. And you've got like, you don't really tend to get boos, but you do get like cheering. And it's like, why they're cheering? Oh, there's no fans there. Hang on. That's a tape. It is. It's really crazy. Oh, it would have been fabulous to see Kim. It's not too late, is it, Kim? You know, I mean, it might be for this Olympics, but maybe you could try out for the next one. That would be amazing. Oh, I would love to see that. Your best friend was national champion in butterfly. Oh, butterfly always looks so difficult. I wasn't bad going backwards, not bad going forwards, but butterfly, no, could never do that. Oh, has Dee got the penalty? That's it, Dee. That was his run-up. Go look at that link, Mike. That's spot on, Dee. That's exactly what he did. Must have taken him hours with his Irish dance coach to get that sorted out. Oh, Alex was a hockey goalkeeper as well, only school level. We had, what was it called? I think the upper sixth and lower sixth were merged into one team, and that was the school team. But I didn't stay to sixth form, so I was actually only in fourth form. Fourth year and fifth year I was in. Now, that doesn't mean I was 9 and 10, Kim. I was our fourth year and fifth year. I would have been 15 and 16 because we restarted the numbering at 11 for reasons best known to us. We don't do that anymore. We take your years now. But back then we did. So I was 14, 15 and 16. And I played for the school team, which was this sixth form team, because nobody wanted to be a goalkeeper. I wonder why. Mind you, we didn't have enough money to buy a helmet. So you took your life in your hands every match because I didn't have a helmet. I did have kickers and pads, thank God, but no helmet. Oh, and that old Kim, you're like this. You know that snarky comment? In fact, there were two, weren't there, in the WhatsApp group from people who should know better about women. I was just smirking with that because I remember there was one match and, you know, we had a grammar school. There was Sale Girls Grammar and Sale Boys Grammar. And there were two totally separate schools on different sides of the town. And we were gearing up for the championships, the county championships. And it was like we could do with a match to warm up. And the only team that we could play was the boys' grammar. And we annihilated them. So as I looked at that comment, I thought, yeah, that's right, Jed, you carry on. Oh, you're all incredibly talented here. Swimming and all sorts. Hockey. Oh, I'm loving that, Tracy. Over here, they were saying, oh, Italy deserved to win. It's been 53 years since they won a major title. Really? Really? I don't think so. Didn't they win the World Cup? It's 53 years since they won that one. Yeah, but it's 55 since we have. So we should have had it on that bet if that had anything to do with it. Where is the World Cup this time? It's in Qatar. Which is why it's being played in December, because it's going to be boiling hot. That's going to interrupt our domestic season as well. It shouldn't be in Qatar. Let's just say money changed hands. It should be somewhere where it can be in the summer and that it's not that blindingly hot. I swear, players, you know, we've already had one had a heart attack this year. I swear when they get to Qatar, there'll be more, because they're not used to playing football in that heat. They have to go and acclimatise for a few weeks. And even then, they did that in Mexico in 86. And there were still people where they'd only been playing 10 minutes and had to be taken off because they just couldn't breathe. So we're not used to it. We're not used to it. In Ireland, fourth year, which is when you're about 16, is optional. Oh, so you have a totally different count. We're going to confuse Kim again. Our education was totally insane. Mike was mentioned the other day, he said, when I was in infant one. And I said, well, I was talking about junior one. And we were trying to work out, you know, so we had infant one and two, juniors one, two, three and four. And we were trying to work out then. And then you go to high school and then you start counting again. So then you're in year one, two, three, four, five, 6A or 6B. And at that stage, you're 18. No wonder Kim's confused, because when we tried to work it out, I was confused as well. Oh, but now I did not know that Ireland had a totally different way of doing it. Oh, dear. I shall keep an eye out, Kim. You'll have to let us know if Adam is swimming. That would be great. Ireland never wins a damn thing. Do you know, yeah, but the thing was, you played well, Dee, in the World Cup and the Europeans. You played so well with Jack Charlton that when the team went home, it was like you had won. And again, it's down to that, like, not cheating thing. Italy get off the plane, they've got the trophy, but the cheating that went on was absolutely appalling. So, no, I've got no time for that, no. Ireland's day will yet come. So the thing is, Tracy, what we need to do is say that's worth, like, a three-goal start, then. If you've not won it in 55 years, that's the equivalent of a three-goal start. That will do nicely. So if we could arrange that, awesome. Kim's quite right. Ireland does have the best river dancers, and that clearly does not include Marcus Rashford. Although that was the best bit of his entire highlight, wasn't it? Mm. You thought Qatar had air-conditioned stadiums, but the rest of it isn't, Tracy. Whether the stadiums are or not, you've got training facilities and all kinds of stuff like that. It's not going to end well. It's not. And it's going to disrupt the normal season. I just think it's ridiculous. It was money. It was money that took it there. Didn't we apply for that one? Wasn't it 2011? Because I was thinking back the other day, it was 7-7, 7th of July. And there's normally some kind of memorial of the 7-7 bombings, and this year there wasn't. And the thing with the 7-7 bombings, one of the ladies that was really badly injured, the day before the bombing, so the 6th of July, England won the right to host the 2012 Olympics. And that morning, all of the papers were full of it because we didn't expect it. You know, OK, you're down to the last however many, but you know, England will be last. They won't pick England. And they did. So the papers were full of it. And then the 7-7 bombings happened. And this woman had this paper in her hand, and she was like so happy that England had got the opportunity to host the Olympics. And she lost both legs. And she decided, as she was recovering, you know, the stuff that was all her stuff that they'd like brought in, that's your handbag and stuff. This paper was in it, and it was like, you know, they won the right to host the Olympics. And she decided she was going to make it her aim to compete in the Paralympics. And she did. That was just amazing. Totally amazing. But the Qatar thing, wasn't it against
Russia?
I think it was Russia, wasn't it? Now, Russia held the last one, didn't they? Mm. But it was naughty. I can't remember the actual details, but they actually proved somehow that there was bribery going on, which is why many of the UEFA officials and FIFA have been removed from their posts, because they were very naughty, taking backhanders. So we'll see how it goes, but I don't think it's going to end well. Kim is confused by our education system. Well, Kim, I had it when I was at school, but as we looked back and tried to work out what year was which, so was I. So don't feel bad about it. So was I. I forgot middle school years 1 and 2. I don't think we had a middle school. We started off and we were in infant 1 and 2. So infant 1, you were 5. Infant 2, you were 6. And then 7, 8, 9 and 10, you moved on to junior 1, 2, 3 and 4. And then you went to high school and it was year 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5. And the sixth form was split into two, the upper sixth and the lower sixth. And then you left. And well, if you had any sense, you left before that, like I did. And you went to college and people were just people. And you weren't categorised at all. It's just like you're at college and that was it. No one took that much difference, you notice, of what year you were in or anything like that. It just didn't matter. And I could not get out of school fast enough. That was when my education started, you know. They all left school. Right. You should see the Irish social media. They were so happy that just England didn't win it. You'd think they'd won it themselves. Same in some other places like Denmark and Scotland, from what you've seen, it's been crazy. True, they just did anybody but England. Yeah, just like I said, anybody but United, which is what it's like in the Premier League. But we're very good at losing because we've got so much experience. We know exactly how to handle it. You just go to school, form K-12, kindergarten, age 5. I have heard K-12 because when you're filling forms in and stuff for webinars, it says, like, are you a K-12 provider? And I remember the first time thinking, what's that? So I had to go and look it up. But we're just weird. We're very, very weird in how we sort it out. But at some point between me leaving and now, they have adopted your year one right the way through to year 12. And that's it. So now it's a lot easier. except for me, because when someone says like year eight, I'm like, oh God, where's that? And I'm doing the maths on my hands. Like, oh, that was our year two at high school. I need like a translation sheet when they start doing that. I really do. Oh, well, at least everybody else was happy that we lost then. We weren't so happy, but at least everybody else was. I'm sure the Scots absolutely had a ball. And they did put on the news, they sent some poor guy to Italy. So he's an English guy in Italy doing the news for the BBC, which was, and this was what happened in Italy. And he's like, oh, I bet he had a grand time. So Tracy had middle school 1 and 2 and then secondary school at second year till fifth year. Because in Exeter there were middle schools, but some counties had secondary schools from the first year. And the college was year 1 and 2. Yeah, I don't think we had the middle schools because we had grammar schools, Tracy. And the government wanted rid of them. And Trafford, in particular, would not allow them to get rid of them. So when they wanted to bring in all the other schemes for like comprehensives and middle schools and stuff like that, Trafford couldn't make any changes because if they did, they'd lose their grammar status and they didn't want to. Just the way it goes, what can I say? You'd think it'd be about the children, but it never is it? Dee was really surprised to see how the Scots and the Welsh root against the English since you're all part of the same country. Well, you'd think so, Dee, but no, it doesn't work like that. That just makes it worse. That's why there's no England, Scotland. What do we used to call that?
Home Championships.
The Home Championship thing, which must be a little bit like the Six Nations was. But they had to abandon that because they kept... Well, Wembley was destroyed one time. And in the end, they just did away with them. But it'd be nice if that was back. That would be nice. Oh, good night to you, Tony. We'll head off now as well. Oh, middle school was such a much better idea. Worked as a buffer, took you away from little kids where you were treated more grown up. Expectations were higher. Yeah, it was weird to be taken out of primary school where obviously you'd grown up, you'd been there 6 years and you were like the oldest, to suddenly find yourself the youngest in a school that went up to sixth form and it had like strapping lads in it of 18 and they looked old enough to be your granddad. It was really weird, that. So, yeah, a nice buffer would have worked well. But no, we didn't have that. Just got stuck with grammar schools and that was that. All right, we better go and sort out where these seats actually are then and how much of a pair of binoculars we're going to need, hadn't we? Whilst I watch Dee's rendition of Riverdance, thank you for that. I shall enjoy that. I shall put it on repeat play on my desktop to relive last night. But for the moment, it's good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.